Disorders Centre in Cork, which is 10 years in existence, have seen a 26% increase in the numbers of people attending their service for treatment in the past year. Joining me to discuss their work is the clinical manager of the Eating Disorder Centre, and that's Trish Shields. Good morning to you, Trish.
Good morning,
and
Patricia.
You are welcome to the programme. Have you seen the number of people attend your centre grow year on year in the 10 years you've been in existence?
Oh, 100%, absolutely, yeah. We started off with two people and one family, and now we have, I think, 68 people and their carers as well, and that can be parents or spouses or partners or whatever. Yeah, so a huge increase.
What's the most common eating disorder that you would see?
We couldn't say we see a common one, because people might come with both eating disorders. You don't, you know, often people just don't have, say, anorexia or bulimia or binge eating disorder. There can be a mix. So we would see all types of eating disorders, really, and there's not one specific thing.
And what age group attend?
From 14, at the moment, from 14 to 65. But we've had somebody as young as 12.
To 65?
To 65, yeah. Yeah.
And is that somebody that would have battled an eating disorder all of their life? Or most
probably. What we would see with people with middle age, that there's a lot of eating disorders in middle age, but that can be down to that the eating disorder has been there and underground, as it were, or whatever, and now coming out. And there's a lot of pressure on women particularly to look a certain way, and the ageing process and all of this. So that's what we're given accounting the increase in that for, yeah.
I heard a voice clip from you on our news service yesterday, because this is Eating Disorders Awareness Week. And you were talking about social media, and you see positives and negatives, Trish, to social media, particularly when it comes to young people and young people's mental health. Talk to me around that.
Okay, well, the social media thing is obviously, we all know it's a huge thing, and it has, it would have negative and positive. The positive things that I would see is that it can be used so positively and constructively to educate people, say, for instance, just about eating disorder awareness. I mean, social media is wonderful for that, getting the word out. And conversely, you have the other side of it, where people are using it indiscriminately for comparisons and making unfortunate negative comparisons of themselves in comparison to other people, and obviously the celebrity culture and all of that, and particularly young girls who wouldn't be mature enough to understand what the truth of all that is really. So hard to discriminate against their lives and the lives of these celebrities or other people who are putting themselves out as, you know, as experts in this kind of thing, how they look, how they dress, all of that stuff. So that we would see as a negative, and having a potential negative impact for sure, yeah.
And I know the internet can also be dangerous for people with anorexia. I remember a number of years ago doing a piece on the Proana sites. Is it Proana?
Yeah.
Are they still doing the rounds?
They are, yeah.
These are websites that encourage people with anorexia to continue on that journey.
Yeah, that is right, yeah. And the problem with any eating disorder is, but if we're talking about anorexia, I mean, first of all, the person, they may not know the severity of their illness, and they don't have the capacity for insight. So because the capacity for insight is compromised, then they believe it's better to go on the Proana sites. So they're lethal, because we know eating disorders actually, without trying to dramatise it, but it's the truth, more people die from this condition than any other mental health condition. So eating disorders kill. So the fact that they're allowed to exist is a very serious thing, for sure.
And you're working with the UCD Dental School. How do you believe dentists can help?
The UCC Dental School, yes. Well, our theme of this week is early intervention. And the dentist would be one of the earliest clinicians to meet somebody who would have a close-up view of somebody's oral health. And dentists, without getting into the technicalities, because I'm not a dental professional, but a dentist would be well positioned to notice the signs that an eating disorder could be causing in the mouth. So we are just raising awareness of that and have produced leaflets to send to dental professionals with the college, with the UCC Dental School there, and also for carers and for sufferers themselves. So there will be like a little booklet for all for distribution to dental surgeries to just highlight and educate again. It's more awareness of the subtle things that we might even not even realise are there.
That's a terrific idea. You mentioned early intervention. How important is early intervention to it?
Oh, it's vital. I mean, an eating disorder, we know if people get early intervention that it will improve the speed of recovery. It'll reduce the symptoms to a huge extent. And I mean the physical and the mental health symptoms. And it'll improve the likelihood of the illness not taking root or getting a nice grip on the person, because that is what happens. And the other piece of it is that eating disorders are unique really in the mental health field, because they have a lot of medical issues with it. Like you can have somebody with osteopenia, osteoporosis, damage to their organs, as we said, death, oral and dental health issues. Serious issues. I mean, I have seen one people actually lose a lot of their teeth because of their eating disorder. So all of those things. So early intervention can stop all that. And if somebody goes on and has an enduring eating disorder that can last for many years, if it's not caught for treatment early, I mean, it actually erodes the person's life. It's not as if the person is having a life anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people with eating disorders are suicidal. They just want to end it because it is so awful.
God, it's dreadful. They're just dreadful disorders. Talk to me now about the Eating Disorder Centre that's in Cork. How do people end up with you? Is it a referral by GP, or how do people come to you?
It's self-referral, but okay. We've just recently actually had a HSE evaluation done. An evaluation done. And what we see is that most people will come via online. They would find about us online, but it's mainly self-referral. And also GPs would refer to us quite a bit as well.
And what services do you offer?
We offer psychotherapy services. So it would be one-to-one psychotherapy, dietitian service, and before somebody would come to us, they must assign to agree that they will work with their GP, because obviously they need to be medically monitored and stabilised if they're in treatment. So, yeah.
But when they come to you, they're basically saying, "I need help. Help me, please."
Yes.
It's to get somebody to get to that point.
To that point, and often you have carers at home who recognise it, because as I said, the capacity for insight is often compromised. The person at home is watching that, the carer is watching that, and really trying to encourage or motivate the person to get help, and they can't. So, it's great when somebody gets there to that stage, and it's very hard for the carers to try and get somebody to that stage.
And are people who suffer from these eating disorders, are they good at hiding it for a long period of time? I mean, can it come as a surprise? I'm thinking of parents listening to us with young people. Does it come as a surprise?
It can. I really think it can. Because, you see, the person starts off not knowing what they're doing. The danger, the myths around eating disorders, as we begin to talk, it's almost as if the person is being manipulative or doing it and stuff like that. But actually, the condition is such the person doesn't know the severity of it. So it sounds strange, but that is the truth. So it's not they're not choosing this. They're choosing it in the sense that they think it's great and they think they have found the best friend ever that can help them out here. But it can get then embedded. So it looks like the person, because if the carer is trying to take it away or say, "Look, you need help," they might hold on saying, "There, what are they talking about? I don't need that help." And that is going back again to early intervention. If we have professionals outside there that can catch these things early, they can start to work on motivating and educating that person, because often they may not listen to their carer, you know.
So what do you say to parents listening, Trish, who may be concerned about a son or daughter who they suspect may have an eating disorder, or what should parents be looking out for?
Well, I would, the first thing and the most important thing is to educate themselves about the condition. Realise that you cannot control it. you cannot control the person, you cannot take it away from them, but you need to come round them in a very caring way, understanding that this is not them doing this, that it is a coping tool, understanding their feelings, being kind about how you approach them. Don't expect an overnight success story here. All of those things, but the most important thing is education. And BodyWise, the national organization who are online, will send all sorts of information like that out to you.
And I suppose to end on a positive note, recovery is possible, Trish, and you've seen that.
Oh, 100%, really. Again, that evaluation we've recently done here, actually people have responded by saying they're getting their life back. It's a lifesaver. They're looking forward to living in their own skin. These are some of the comments. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a myth again out there that, well, you can't have recovery. It'll always be in the back of your mind. You'll never have full recovery. That is actually not true. That is not true. We believe in full recovery, and yes, you can get it. You need to work at it, for sure, because it is a complex condition and a complex area, a complex illness to come out of, but totally you can. And it's about getting your life back. It's about owning who you really are and living out of that place.
Okay, well done. How are you funded, by the way, at the Eating Disorder Centre?
We're part-funded by the HSE, and we're a charity. We're a not-for-profit charity.
Okay.
But we're part-funded by the HSE. I'm very grateful for that, genuinely very grateful for it, because and we couldn't have existed without it.
And you have a great website if people want to check out more and find
we
out more
about
you. We
have our website and all on social media this week, particularly Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, and it's eatingdisordercentre.ie.
Eatingdisordercentrecork.ie.
All right.
Yeah,
all right. Listen, good luck. Continue. Good luck. You're doing fantastic work,
Trish.
And we thank you for taking time out to talk to us today.
Thanks indeed. Thanks
good morning to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.